Okay, so let's start. Hi, I'm Philip Castle. I'm from SUSE. And lately, I've been interested in switch statements and how GCC optimizes switch statements. So I've come here to tell you about what I found on my journey, and also to share one contribution I actually made to GCC switch statement optimizations. Let's start with some definitions so that we understand each other. What will be important? Well, this will be important. I expect you to know what a switch statement in C is. The thing in parentheses that determines which of the cases will execute, let's call that the index variable. So that's one important thing. And the other important thing is the case range. The case range, I basically mean the interval from the smallest case number to the highest case number. And then this case range may have some holes in it. Not sure if there's any technical term for this. Meaning, for example, here, we don't have case 4 and case 5. And if there are any holes in the case range, and how many there are, how big they are, will be important for some of the optimizations.
So let's say you are the compiler and you run into a switch. At some point during the compilation, you have to break down the switch into some simpler statements. And this is the situation we'll be dealing with in this talk. And first, I want to quickly mention the naive way of doing this. You can break down a switch to a chain of if and else statements. You just go through all the cases, and for each one, ask if I is equal to its number. This works, but in the worst case, you go through all the cases. So you go through many conditionals, which is not efficient in terms of CPU cycles. And before we discuss smarter ways of doing this, I want to show you two specific switches.
And I want you to think about how you would optimize these. How would you rewrite these to something more efficient and something that isn't a switch? I will tell you what GCC will, in its current version, do with these switches at the end. You may see some patterns. So eventually, we'll find out how GCC takes advantage of those. So let's now go through the major switch optimizations in GCC. The one I want to focus on the most is switch conversion. This is an optimization that was contributed by Martin Jambor, who is also from SUSE. And the scenario where we would use switch conversion is such. You have a switch, like this one, that only assigns constants to some variables. In this case, it's the variable x. That may sound niche, but that's, I think, pretty useful case to optimize. And the idea is that you take these constants, you put them in an array, and then you use the, well, suggestively named index variable to index the array. What you then get is, instead of many conditionals, you get just a memory read, which is nice. One thing to know that is that you actually also have to include some bounce checks so that you don't end up doing an out-of-bounds memory read. Let's take this a bit further. What if we could get rid even of that memory read? Well, it turns out we can, and GCC is able to do this in the case where x turns out to be a linear function of I. Not sure how obvious this is, but you can compute x by multiplying I by 3 and adding 5. And GCC can recognize this, and instead of the memory read you have seen, and instead of the array, just insert the necessary numerical operations, the multiplication and addition. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention, in the previous case with the basic switch conversion, this optimization can handle some holes in the case range, but there mustn't be too many. In the case of this thing, linear transformation, this flavor of switch conversion, there mustn't be any holes in the switch in the case range. So that was the switch conversion. I also want to show you the other major switch optimizations. The most general of these, and now we are leaving the realm of switches which only assign constants to some variables. The most general optimization is the decision tree optimization. Basically, this is a direct upgrade, in most cases, I think, of the naive approach we've seen. Here, you basically take the case range, you split it at some point, and you ask in which of the resulting sections of the case range is I. And then you do this again, recursively, and again. You can visualize this as a tree, and eventually end up in the code that you want to execute. So this is nice. This gets us from worst case linear time to worst case logarithmic time. But yeah, this is like the most basic thing we can do. Usually we want to apply some more powerful techniques at the expense of them not being entirely general. So one of these is the jump table optimization. This thing, to understand jump tables, we have to look at the problem at the assembly level. And the core concept is an indirect jump. What you do to go to the appropriate case, to the appropriate code block, is that you do an indirect jump indexed by the index variable. You have a table of target locations, and you index this table by I in this case. It's kind of similar in concept to the switch conversion, but this time we're jumping, not reading from memory. So this is pretty powerful, and there's one prerequisite, and that's that again, that the case range doesn't have too many holes in it. And to finish Arthur through the major GCC switch optimizations, there's also bit tests. This one is pretty specific. It was contributed by Rochusale. Let's say we have a switch where many cases are pointing to a single code block. To decide effectively if we want to execute thing A or thing B, we would like to efficiently check if I is in a set of all these case numbers. And the, I think, pretty smart idea is to use a bit vector for this, meaning that you take a binary number and you put ones at the positions which correspond to the numbers you want to represent in the set, and then you do some bitwise operations, and you can efficiently find out if I indeed is in the set. Okay, so those were the major switch optimizations, and as I promised, now I want to show you the switches from the beginning, what happens to them. Now that you know about switch conversion, you might guess that this is exactly the case where you would want to apply it. You are just assigning constants to some variable x. But there's a problem, and that's the case range. It is too sparse. There's too many holes in the case range. But we see a pattern here. We see that the case numbers are actually powers of 2. So what if we could switch on the exponents of the powers of 2 instead of the numbers themselves? Well, that would be pretty nice. That would lead us to a switch like this, which this is very much processable by switch conversion. The case range actually in this case, in this scenario, is completely contiguous. But one thing we have to do is that we at runtime have to compute the base 2 logarithm of the index variable, which may seem like it would be a problem, but since all the relevant values are exact, are powers of 2, and we have some fancy instructions on modern CPUs, this actually is pretty fast. You can do this in like 1 or 2 instructions, usually. And yeah, this is my humble contribution to GCC switch optimizations. This is what I did. And this is how it looks if when eventually switch conversion runs. You get some bounce checks, which I left out, logarithm, and a memory read. And I also want to show you the second switch. That one gets reduced to almost only logarithm, because that is what it was basically computing naively through a switch statement. So I think it's pretty neat that GCC can now recognize this and just insert a computation of a logarithm. I wanted to show you some future work, but I'm running out of time. So recap, this is what we've seen. Switch conversion, decision trees, jump tables, and bit tests. I hope you learned something and are now more excited about optimizing switch statements. Thank you. Do I have some time for questions? Okay. So there were two questions. The first one was if this works with other logarithms. No, this only works with base 2 logarithm. I don't think that this would work with like base 3 logarithm. Maybe with powers of 2, but that would...
Well, how open would that happen in practice? Right.
Not sure. So the question is, no, this works only with base 2 logarithm. And the second question was if this also works with chains of if-else. And it does, because, what I didn't mention, GCC also optimizes chains of if and if-else into switches internally. So this is also applicable for if you write this as a if-else chain. Last one. Okay. I saw you. Okay.
So you say two decision trees, right?
Right.
First is jump tables. On all modern hardware, jump tables are very, very, very slow. So you should avoid those. Always do decision. It is never predicted on a long hardware. Never. That means like single times, right? Never. And the better hardware is essentially never predicted correctly. So, once prediction is the important thing for performance, right? And it just does not work for internet boxes. There is no good solution for it yet. There's no good solution expected in the next 100 years or so, but there is no good solution. So the best we have is the solution.
Okay.
And in GCC, we do have target-specific macro thingy to decide whether to use the decision tree or whatever. So basically, everything will switch to a decision tree always in the next couple of years, because it's just so much better.
Okay. So to repeat for people watching the recording, if I understood correctly, this was a correction to my claim that this is the basic thing and this is better.
Okay. The jump table is not a modern thing. It's yeah. 10, 20 years old. It does not have any advantages anymore. It is only disadvantages.
Okay.
It's always slower. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It does work. That's good thing, right? It always does work, yeah.
Yeah, so what I've learned from the audience is this technique is old and isn't as fast as I was saying and will be very soon very obsolete. Okay, thank you. I think that yes, GCC doesn't decides on the depending on how big the switch is, it will do decision trees even if it can see that it could do jump table. But yeah, I don't know more details about this. Thanks. Okay, so that was all questions. Sorry. Again, thank you for your attention.